Jones Radio, that's where I wanna be. Radio Reverb, wouldn't you agree? Pete Jones Radio, that's where I wanna be. And I will listen for the rest of my life. Said I will listen for the rest of my life. Pete Jones Radio.
Text us especially if you know anything at all about the David Sinclair Four, because they are now here. It's official and they can't go anywhere, so you can say what the hell you like. David, sir, how are you?
I'm very well, Pete. Thank you very much for inviting us back again.
It's a pleasure.
Thrilled
it's,
to be here.
It's such a pleasure. And Jeff, how are you doing, sir?
Yeah.
You need to bring this mic up. Look at that.
Oh, yeah, it's, real good.
You know.
Yeah, all good here.
You are? You're looking good. You're always looking good, you two. I don't know how you do it. What's going on?
Healthy living, Pete. Something that would be a revelation to you, I expect.
When you say healthy living, is this something you've been avoiding, or is this something that you've actually practiced? Because, you know, tell me.
It's something, it's deeply ingrained. It's one of the core values of the DS4. We like to do a few circuit training before we do the gigs that we play, and we like to keep ourselves in tip-top condition.
Well, you're looking tippity and you're looking toppity, that's true.
Thank you.
Talking of tip-tops, are we going to be doing a few tips and a few tops later? Are we going to swing the old year around?
Yeah, okay.
I know you're on the road, obviously. But, you know, we'll treat you to something. I say treat you, I'll show you where it is. So... What's this? Another text coming in. How many are there in the David Sinclair Four? Well, thank you for asking. Or the Four, as they're known soon to be. I don't know. There are four, aren't there? But obviously the confusion I can see in the listeners is the fact that there's just two of you here.
We have, over the years, been numerically challenged in the David Sinclair Four. We've been a trio. We've been a DS3. And as it happens just right at this moment with a DS2, we have various permutations, you see. We're going, it's the big countdown to the big one. So there's four in the band ordinarily, and thank you for your inquiry, sir. That's very good. We sometimes have a harmonica player called Laurie Garman who joins us, but we don't go up to five when it's him. We've stuck at four.
You know, that would just be another name change gone.
It'd be a number too far.
Well, so, it'd be a marketing nightmare, to be honest.
It's a marketing nightmare already.
We've got stickers, you know, for the trio albums which say now DS4. So
and can you peel them off and say so that it goes 3, 2, 1? You got variations and a theme. Well, so what are we to expect when we come to the Brunswick on the 22nd? Is it going to be, what's the lineup?
Well, it's going to be rock and roll in full effect, Pete. It'll be definitely four on that night.
Oh, great.
We'll have the full complement of the band.
Jeff's holding up four fingers. Yes, thank you, sir. I can read.
And we'll be playing some of our own tracks from our new album Sweet Georgina.
Yes.
Which I see you've got a copy of there.
I have. And I'm shuffling through about five albums here.
We've got a few of them out over the years.
They've been good. Tell you.
And obviously that'll be a lot of fun. We'll also, I think we'll be playing a few. I was talking with Jeff about this on the drive down, and we thought we'd play maybe some Chuck Berry songs.
Because
we know that Tenderhooks is a good time party band. We've heard the news about this.
Tenderhooks are just great live. They're great anyway, but they are really great live, and they just know how to crack a crowd, you know?
Yeah.
So anything you chuck at their crowd, they will lap it. They will love it.
That's it. Well, we're going to chuck a few things at them, mostly musical, I hope.
If they chuck the other stuff back, then you can decide what to chuck. I've dug out Bob Dylan's Wake last time I played a track from this album, I do believe. Great song. And Blue Suede Shoes. Love it. There's some real little crackers on this Sweet Georgina album.
Thank you very much, Pete. Well, we were very pleased with it, and it's had a great reception when we put it out and about. Bob Dylan's Wake is one of the more controversial tracks on the album, because I don't know if you noticed, he's still around, in fact. But
I know.
He's one of the few rock stars that hasn't bitten the dust
in the past few years. True.
It's a sad thing.
Yeah.
Hopefully he will be around for a long time to come. And My Blue Suede Shoes, of course, is another slightly controversial one, not to be confused with the great Elvis Presley song,
course.
The same one.
Where were you on the old, should Bob Dylan have been given a Nobel Prize for Literature? Where did you stand on that? Did you have an opinion?
Well, I don't know, but Bob Dylan was a bit ambiguous about it. It wasn't ambivalent, and he didn't actually show up to collect it.
Not for a couple of years, almost, wasn't
it? Well, no, he sent someone along. He wrote a little thank you speech and gave it to somebody else to read it out, I think.
So even at the end, I thought he had pitched up by the last hour, but so even at the end, he didn't make an appearance. That's hilarious.
I don't think so, no. Oh. I think he sent his words of wisdom. So I don't know how impressed Bob was even to get that.
But that is so him, isn't it? He could only have behaved in that way, I guess, or else we've all been a bit disappointed. Do you want to dig out a live track right now? Because I'm looking at those guitars and I've heard you in the sound check, and it would be just great just to crack on.
Yeah, we can do it any time. We're ready.
What have you got lined up?
Well, I thought we'd start off with Sweet Georgina, which is the title track of the album.
Yes, I played this last week, actually.
Oh, brilliant.
Okay, cracker. Absolutely cracker.
We can certainly take off on that one.
Folks, we've got we got half of the David Sinclair Four here. We've got David and Jeff ready to play live for you. We got Sweet Georgina, and it's, it sounds beautifully like this.
Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4. I left home when I was 16. I went around the world, I even met the Queen. I grew up about as slow as you can. I still play guitar in a rock and roll band. Been around, had a long career. I'm not American, I come from here. I washed dishes, slept on floors, but I'm the guy that you came here for. Still I wonder what it's all about. There's just one girl who makes me jump and shout. Sweet Georgina, I hear your call. Stars with guitars, she loved them all. The rain on the fields, the misty waterfalls. Sweet Georgina loved them all. Sweet Georgina loves you all. She's a woman of grace, a creature of youth, a master of rhyme, and she told me the truth. Birds can fly, they got a plan. Most bands die in the back of a van. Some get broken, some get scared. A few are chosen, but none are spared. There's a time to fight, a time to dance. Every new song is another chance. Still I wonder what it's all about. There's just one girl who makes me jump and shout. Sweet Georgina, I hear your call. Stars with guitars, she loved them all. The ancient battlefields, the misty waterfalls. Georgina loves you all. Yes, she does. Thank you.
You're listening to The Pete Jones Show on Radio Reverb.
You so are. You so are, with the squeaky mics and everything. How you doing? Oh my God, that was great. That was Sweet Georgina playing live to the last plinkety-plonk of the old guitar there. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Pete, and thanks for that amazing intercut of the jingle right at the end. Yeah. It was perfect. I mean, come on.
I know. We should do a show.
I know. I was thinking, how are we going to cut this off? And then straight away, just like that.
How can we? We've got to do this. We've got to do it live sometime, don't you think?
Yeah.
This would be a good radio show. This would. Seriously, I've heard worse. Don't ask me to name them, of course. But I'm sure there's got to be. That you are listening to The Pete Jones Show here, of course. We've got the David Sinclair Four in the house. Jeff and David doing their thing, just doing what they do so well. Oh, my God. Do you know how long a set you might have on Friday the 22nd? And what sort of length is kind of a comfortable live set for you? Is it like sort of 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 45?
Yeah, we can do that. We can do 30, 45, 50, 55.
Hour and a half. So if the tender hooks don't show up, we're on, aren't we?
Yeah, we've played a few. Yeah. Actually, we played a couple. The last one we did, when we played in Odiham in Hampshire. Do you remember? We had to play... It was like 2 hours or something. Yeah. It just went on and on. We played our whole set. And then I'm sort of looking around and I said, when are we going to finish here? And somebody at the bar said, oh, you can go on for another half an hour or so. So we started playing a few covers. And then we said, oh, well, we'll play this and we'll play that. We had plenty of songs to play and it was great. And a really nice time. But
is that something that actually is quite a joy? Because you just know each other, know it so well. Or can it faze you?
It was a nightmare. No, it was fine.
But I've heard loads of people saying, you know what, we're so programmed to know where we were going that suddenly to be chucked another 30 minutes is quite a big deal.
Yeah, well, you do rehearse, obviously, a set for a gig. Yeah. You do have a sort of sense of what you're going to try and do. But the more I hear about tender hooks and this gig in Hove that we're going to be doing in the Brunswick, the more I'm thinking, we've got to be ready for anything, right,
anything,
Jeff?
Anything. Marcus has texted in saying, hello, lads. Hope Sweet Georgina is coming to the gig.
Oh, well, we certainly wouldn't leave her behind, Marcus. Don't worry.
So there you go. Anything we should know about Sweet Georgina?
Well, it's quite an interesting story.
Really? We want to hear it. We're here. Yeah.
Sweet Georgina. The real life Sweet... Oh, yes. David will tell you all about Georgina the Muse.
Yes.
The Georgina on the cover of the album... That was the sister of a friend of mine. I went to school.
Really?
With, yeah.
Wow.
And that's back in the late 60s.
Yeah.
And it was a shot taken for the top of a box of Cadbury's chocolates.
How very
and
cool.
Never used.
Really?
And she's had this picture ever since.
Yeah, and it was never used because it was a little too rock and roll, I think, for the...
I think, you know...
There's
I
a
think,
reason it wasn't used.
I think I know where you're going with that. Yeah, well...
She's a lovely girl.
Let's face it, come on. So the other Georgina, the Muse...
Well, Georgina was a kind of it girl from, I guess, around the 60s, maybe, maybe a little later than that. And I knew quite a few girls like Georgina, and there's kind of one or two that I had in mind when we were writing the song. And she went through some pretty high old times, you know, as we all did in those days. And she came out the other side she's a good person, and she's grown up nicely, and she's become the patron saint of rock and roll. And she's... a muse, basically. She's the kind of thing that, if you like, the idea of the song is about rock and roll bands and the kind of joy and love that we all have for music. If you work in this field, you know, you have to have something that drives you on, spurs you on, something you want to do, some reason you want to make these songs. And Georgina's that person in a sort of, you know, symbolic way, but also the song, you know, we've got people in mind. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
There's people like that around.
Jeff's nodding. God, is he nodding?
Yeah.
Look at that. That's a nod. Was this Sweet Georgina the fourth album officially?
It's our fifth album. Fifth album.
My question being, 2019, of course, all new. You know, wipe the slate clean. Are we heading for a sixth?
Well, we were talking about this on the drive down as well, Pete, as you might well imagine. And we were kind of thinking...
We did have bugs in that car, by the way.
We were kind of thinking that after we played the Brunswick, I'm not sure, where do you go after a gig like that?
Well, this is the thing. I tell you where the bar, normally. That's normally where I go after one of those.
I mean, you know, the bucket list is... We've been ticking them off, haven't we, Jeff?
Yeah.
So I'm... I don't know is the honest, honest answer to that, Pete. I think most bands will tell you it's getting new records out and making new albums. It's an unpredictable business.
And doing what you guys are doing brilliantly, which is, you know, playing live as much as you can, because that really does seem to be the ticket now, doesn't it? Just trying to get those gigs in and doing them and enjoying them. Mm. And stacking these old albums at the back of the hall. And
that's it.
Yeah, I think what you've got to do is just keep new product, keep the new music coming. And the way it seems to be going is that the traditional album is a thing of the past almost. And what you need to do is keep your profile fresh. And so every time you have a new track, release it as a single. That seems to be the way people do it.
So when you say the traditional album is a thing of the past, do you mean putting an album together, thinking about 10 tracks and letting it flow in that linear way and
it's
promoting
become,
that one thing? Or
it's become more of an elongated linear process.
I think it's all about the tracks. I think streaming and Spotify and all the rest of it has had an incredible, profound effect on how we, as a community, as a nation, as a people, listen to music, how we consume it.
Yeah.
I think the album, the idea, does anybody sit down now with an album and go from start to finish?
Well, I do.
Yeah, me too.
Right. I wonder, I don't know. I mean, obviously, it's how we have evolved as listeners. It's all we've ever done. Mm. I get that. But having said that, you know, if you think back in the day, we would listen to side one quite a few times because you couldn't be asked to turn it over. and then possibly side two a few times. But side two always used to suffer for that reason, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then along came tapes in the car, and that would be the whole thing. Mm. And I still I don't like to assume that just because people are, you know, 25 and under, that they don't necessarily do or enjoy certain things. And I'm just thinking about, you know, mainstream folk like, say, Tom O'Dell. I mean, he'll still put together very much an album and be very conscious that, you know, like his third album that came out, Jubilee Road or whatever, was all about, you know, it was almost a thematic album. And, you know, and he's what? I don't know, 25, 24. So he's still interested in that. I totally get it. I know this is how we all are getting our tracks. I say all. I don't think I've downloaded too much in my time. I normally like to get a CD, but
that's great, and it's lovely to do it. I mean, the whole mechanics as well of the industry have changed, you know, that the idea that you disappear for a couple of years and then come back with a new record is, again, slightly... These days, everything just rushes in, and
you can only do that if you're Adele, can't you?
Well, oh,
and she's nailed to it now because every album is her age, so she has to wait. Just to wait a couple of years for it. This is my theory, anyway.
Yeah.
Do text us, by the way, if you completely disagree with what I'm talking about. 07909 547336. So is the you're thinking more. In terms, because, you know, to date, you know, you have pretty well, I know you've brought out singles and whatever, but they've normally been a part of an album that's coming.
Yeah.
But do you think that's going to change? You might just stick to an EP next time?
Well, I don't know. Five albums, Pete. I think it's time for a greatest hits, isn't it?
You're always ready for that. Always.
And don't forget the live album, you know.
How can I forget?
The double live.
How can I forget that?
Yeah.
It's etched.
This is where
we're headed.
The options are many.
Just so grand. Would you mind picking up those two acts that you might grind on stage? What would you dig out for a second track on the Pete Jones Show, if I should ask?
Well,
yes.
Pete, if it's very nice of you to invite us to, we thought we'd do it. We'd give you another track from the Sweet Georgina album.
Ace.
The one we were going to try our hand at this time is called I'm Clean. And this is a song which... I was doing a bit of ghostwriting for my day job.
Yes, yes, we've all got day jobs.
And I was writing I was helping Topper Heaton, the drummer from The Clash, who was thinking at the time he might be writing his autobiography. I don't think he's thinking about it anymore. It's nothing to do with me that he's changed his mind, but I think he's gone off. He's doing something else now.
Okay.
But Topper had terrible problems with drink and drugs and all the rest of it during his time, during and after The Clash. And he always used to say to me he was so proud that he'd got clean because he'd got rid of all of that and he rejigged his whole life. And it became a bit of a a bit of a catchphrase, Dave, I'm clean. And he was always so pleased about it. And I was pleased for him. So I wrote this little song and sent it to him. I asked him if he played drums on it. But he said his hands were too sore.
Oh,
so,
you're kidding.
He had a good excuse.
Oh, you bought the new sticks and everything.
Yeah, I know. Oh. But, you know. Anyway, okay. So this one was for Topper. I'm clean. 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, I'm clean. I wash my hands in your sink. I'm clean. No drugs, no drink. I'm clean. My skin is all pink. I'm clean. But you don't know what I think. I'm clean. Yeah, I'm clean. When I was young, my veins were on fire. My brain was pulled by chemical wires. I couldn't sleep, I was way too tired. I couldn't act, I was terminally mired. But I'm clean. Wash my hands in your sink. I'm clean. No drugs, no drink. I'm clean. The battle's been won. I'm clean. But you don't know what I've done. I'm clean. Yeah, I'm clean. Let's keep it clean, Jeff. Fool, I'm clean. I'm totally cool. I'm clean. All my buddies and me, we're all clean. We're in recovery. I'm clean. Yeah, I pulled out that thong. I'm clean. Clean as the day I was born. I'm clean. Yeah, I'm tough and I'm lean. I'm clean. But you don't know where I've been.
This is Joe Harmon, and you're listening to The Pete Jones Show on Radio Reverb.
You are. That is true. I can't deny any of that. That was brilliant. That was I'm Clean from the fantastic Sweet Georgina album from the DS4. I call you the David Sinclair 4. It's a DS4, really, isn't it?
DS4
officially?
Is good. Yeah, that's fine. You know, you want to keep it. It's a David Sinclair 4. Is, yeah.
Listen, I know.
That's legitimate.
I know about your lawyers. I don't want them on my back.
Don't
for
worry.
Goodness sake. Good. You know, many a lesser man has been crushed by the DS4 legal team. I know.
Right. You don't want to tangle with those guys, I tell
I'm
you.
Not messing. I so not. Especially with certain other people in the room. Oh, tell you, I've signed all sorts of things and I don't know what any of them were. So you're listening to the DS4 here live on The Pete Jones Show. They're sounding fab, says Anna in Hove. She says...
Thank you, Anna.
She says, can't wait to see them on the 22nd.
Hey.
Well, you won't be alone, folks, because there is a gig Friday, 22nd of February, 8 o'clock. Now, I do believe tickets are £10 now or on the door, I do believe. And it's all, well, there's a three band lineup. There's Scott and Maria, then there's the DS4, and then we've got Tenderhooks launching their brand new album at the Brunswick. £10, and I think it includes a CD of the album that the Tenderhooks are launching. So, you know, it's £10, but boy, you get something out of it. I tell you what else you get out of it, and this is good. You get the chance to buy any of the DS4 back catalogue, which will be stacked tall and very, very proud at the back of the hall. So that's not bad either, you know. What any other merch? Have you got any belts?
We got a nice t-shirt. We got the old four t-shirt, yep.
Yes.
Belts.
I just wanted to see if you were listening.
Whips, perhaps, that sort of thing.
Steady. Good. I'm glad to hear that. So you could get the DS4 whips, chains, tickle bits, whatever you got. I don't know. It's all... If it works.
That's it.
Quite frankly.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
That's...
Jeff, if it sells... You're looking. Yeah, that's right. Talking of which, that is a very, very nice.
Pilot High, sell it cheap.
It's a lovely, lovely thing you got there. Is that,
what's that?
Well, I don't know, the DS4 kind of range of hoodie.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
leisure wear.
Leisure wear, yeah. Well, you got it these days, haven't you? You got to, you know, you got to think out of the box. Apparently, I don't know. I don't know how it works. I've never been in the box.
We're selling it out of the box, Pete. That's what we're doing.
That's what you're doing. So, what else is in the old pipeline? The DS4 pipeline. Anything? You both look at each other. Keep it clean. That's all.
Well,
I
say. We're this drive down that we keep talking about. We were having a few discussions about this, and we thought what we were going to do. It's long been an ambition of Jeff's and mine to work up a kind of rock opera.
Oh,
so. What we thought we were going to do was, you know, have you ever heard the Lou Reed live album where he does Sweet Jane with the Velvet Underground?
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Rock and Roll Animal.
Rock and Roll Animal.
Yeah.
And you know the beginning of that song, how they play is like an incredible long intro.
It goes
to
on forever and ever.
Yeah, yeah, and it's incredibly involved and unbelievably intricate piece of work with two guitars, bass and drums. Yeah. And we're going to do that. And not this gig. We're not going to do it with Tenderhooks because we've already fixed that up. But you're talking to us about, you know, how we sort out our gigs. We're going to work that up and we're going to do that song at a gig in not too distant future. We're going to make Rory and Joss really our rhythm section, who obviously sadly can't be here tonight for reasons of space as much as anything.
That's
not really the place for a drum kit in here, is it?
We cleared the hall for you guys. What are you talking
about? Well, I know you did, Pete, but we...
Her Majesty wouldn't let him come.
Oh, right, okay.
Yes.
No, she's detained at her pleasure.
Only certain days a year. Yeah. Yes, I know.
Anyway, so that's our next project. We're going to do a kind of rock opera... A la the Velvet Underground at our next gig. Not this gig that we're talking, not the Tenderhooks gig, obviously. I don't want to have people coming
expecting,
under false expectations.
Oh, can you imagine? Can you imagine that face?
That would
what
be,
they realise.
Now I've put it out there.
You have.
I think we've now.
You've got to do it.
We've got to do it.
So 3 hours ago, this didn't even exist as an idea.
No,
now it's already booking.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
We're already. We got the belts, we got the nipple tassels, and now we've got this.
And
what's
now
going
we've
on?
Got the rock and roll animal.
It's
that's
ridiculous.
It.
It's endless.
That's it.
You see, this is called brainstorming.
Yeah,
I'm liking this.
That's right.
You know, we need to do this more often.
Yeah, I think so.
Why don't we? This is good.
It's a two-way street, Pete.
Yeah.
Ah, well, I'm glad you said that. Talking of which, we got the DS4 in, who are going to play another live track, and I can just see if I can get out of this one. If I were to say to you, what kind of covers do you like doing?
Oh, covers.
You know, I'm not saying now, obviously.
Oh.
But if, you know, what's in your sort of back catalogue?
Well, there's two questions here, Pete, that are running parallel with each other. We're talking back catalogue, we're talking covers. Now, if you want us to do back catalogue, if you want to talk back catalogue.
Yeah. No, but I mean, what sort
covers?
Of... Covers, yeah.
Well, covers we like... I tell you who I really like and I think works for us is Chuck Berry.
Yeah.
We love Chuck Berry.
Yeah.
And you know, there's something just gilt-edged about those songs of his, Bye Bye Johnny, Johnny Be Good and Let It Rock. That's one that we do quite often. There's just, you can't go wrong with those songs. They're just absolutely brilliant.
And, the, you know, the Beatles loved them, didn't they?
The Beatles played them. The Stones.
Yeah. Stones
pretty much their first album was Chuck Berry's song.
Yeah.
That's he's a big favourite of ours.
And what about new artists and stuff? Not to cover, but just things that are sort of you know, crossing your sort of oral desk, if you will. What sort of things have been sort of a?
I'll tell you what's floating my boat at the moment.
Go on.
It's that huge guy from Nashville, huge statue-wise, Chris Stapleton.
Chris Stapleton.
Wow. What a voice! What a guitar player! What a songwriter!
There you go.
Yeah.
What about the DS4 going to Nashville and cutting an album?
We got plans.
We did that gig obviously with those Nashville cats, didn't we?
With
our friends from, and they were saying, oh, you know, come on over.
So was that a London gig?
Yeah, we played at the Borderline with Matthew Ryan.
He's
an amazing singer songwriter from Nashville, and we met some of his friends there. And you know, it's like all of these things. You'd love to do it. Yeah, of course.
I've never even thought about this until now, but there is something. There's a fusion with the DS4, a sort of a rock and roll Americana. There is. I can see that.
There is. A lot of my influences of, and Jeff's have obviously been very much from the Americana end of things. And I always like to maintain our English identity. I never like the sound of English people singing as if they're Americans. It doesn't.
Like Mick.
It kind of jars a bit. Well, Mick sings like Mick. Come on, let's be fair.
Elton?
And Elton the same. I think those guys have kind of gone through the barrier a bit. But yeah. I think if you go down to a pub on a Saturday night and you see a band playing something kind of a bit generic and singing in a very American accent, and then it's, hey, hello, mate, you know, at the end. It's sort of, it's slightly, it just has a little bit of an ersatz feel to it, I think.
You feel like you've been cheated a little.
Yeah. But having said that, all the influences of the bands, well, it's the blues for us is a big, big thing. And, you know, that you can't get more heartland Americana than the blues.
It's hard to sing, isn't it, that sort of stuff, if you haven't got a slight lilt going on there.
Yeah. So, but I think you have to, what we do is a sort of Anglo-Americana, you know? You have to be a little bit, you have to be true to your roots and where you're from and what you do. But the music you hear over the course of a lifetime, you know, it's got to be
it's all
as broad as anything.
Yeah, I think.
And I love all that American stuff.
What would you like to play for us now?
Well, if you were to invite us to play another song,
it's hypothetical.
Yeah. I thought we would try one from this back catalogue we've been talking about in such great detail.
Yeah.
This is from a song from the third album, which is called Take Me There.
Okay.
The Black Album.
Okay.
We've got the Yellow Album, the Black Album, the...
You're reaching for it.
There it is.
There it is. I'm still shuffling.
Take Me There.
There we go.
And there's a song on there that's called Perfect in Every Way.
Yes.
And that's a song that talks about, the things that you miss out on sometimes that you're not quite aware of it when you're missing out on them. We could try that. What do you think?
I would love that. I know this track and it's a gorgeous one.
Oh, do you?
Good. Yeah. Well, please take it away.
Let's have a go at this one.
Perfect in every way.
1, 2, 3, 4. Not far from here, but a lifetime ago, I met a girl with skin like snow, but I didn't know what I know today, that she was perfect in every way. She was perfect in every way, it's true. She took me swimming, then we walked down the path. Her voice was soft, she made me laugh. It all seems simple, no song and no dance. She reeled me in without a second glance. But you know, I didn't know what I know today, that she was perfect in every way. Hey, hey, she was perfect in every way. Drifted through a hazy summer, we both worked hard, but our spirits were free. She drove me round in a little blue car, we're drinking gin beneath a sycamore tree. But I didn't know what I know today, that she was perfect in every way. Hey, hey, she was perfect in every way, just perfect. Said goodbye in the usual way. I haven't seen her from then until this day. I don't know if she is dead or alive. So I put her name in a searching engine. No result, no happy surprise. But if she was here, my heart would be pumping. I'd hold her close, I'd look her right in the eyes.
I tell her now what I never did then, how much I loved her from the start to the end. I only think of her just once in a while, but I'd give anything to see her smile, anything.
This is Dan
and Ollie
from Exactly Zero, and you're listening to
the Pete Jones Radio Show.
Yes, indeed you are. I'm not even sure I brought the right mic up here, to be honest. I don't know. It's all so confusing. What I was doing there in the course of that track was just swapping mics around, because I just noticed that your mic seemed to be cutting on and off. It sounded brilliant, and then it cut out. I don't know if you picked up on that.
No.
So I thought, I'm not having that. I'm just not having that.
Oh, sorry. So, well, we were fine.
No, you were fine.
Okay. We just kept going.
It all sounded gorgeous. That was a track perfect in every way from the David Sinclair Trio officially Take Me There album, but I think we can gloss over that DS4. So there you go. Now listen, how does it work? Do you still have all these as hard copies, these albums, in a sort of number, and do you take them to gigs and all the rest?
Yeah, we certainly do.
Looking around for
we
nods.
We certainly do. We have plenty of copies still left of all of these albums.
Great.
And some singles as well.
Good.
And even some vinyl singles that we did
back
in the day.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Was it The American Boy? Was that?
That's right. America, Here's My Boy.
I love that. That's a great track. Or do you ever dig that one out and play it live still?
We played it quite recently, actually.
Yeah.
We played it the last gig but one, I think.
That was a goodie. I like that.
That's a polyvinyl single.
Oh, yeah, that's
track,
I don't know. Polystyrene.
Polystyrene.
We play a polystyrene song.
Do you?
Yeah. Well,
she was local.
Was she?
I'm pretty sure she was local, yeah.
I think she was from...
Oh, here we go.
Brixton, I think.
Yeah, whatever. Brixton.
Or Bromley, wasn't she? Somewhere?
Brighton, I think, is the word you're looking
for. Maybe I'm getting confused. That must be it. She was definitely from the BR postcode zone.
Absolutely. Okay, I'll move on from that. And what's the link? What's the connection?
Oh, well, we played a gig in at the Dublin Castle, which is called the Polyfest, and it's an annual festival dedicated to the memory of polystyrene.
How very
was,
cool.
I know. She was the singer in X-Ray Specs,
that's
if you
right.
might have
yeah,
recalled.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she was quite a figure. And sadly, she died in 2011. She had cancer and she passed away. And in recent years, it's a tremendous thing in Camden. They do it now. Just in honour of her memory, they do a festival every year. And they get all the old school punk people and people around who remember her fondly. And they do a big show. And part of the deal is when you do the show is that you play one of her songs, so either X-Ray Specs or we weren't exactly Bondage Up Yours wasn't quite our kind of scene, you know, Jeff. I mean, I'm not
despite the nipple tassels.
I know.
Yes,
despite all these the merchandise that you've been talking about here, it wasn't quite going to work. So, but we took a song from one of her solo records, which was. I forgot what it was called now. What was the song we played?
Big City.
Big City, that was it, yeah.
Okay.
And it was all about her love of London and living in London and how she enjoyed herself. And it was called, it's actually Hip City.
Hip City.
That's right. And we worked up a version of it, and with some trepidation, I might say. We kind of set out on stage amidst this absolute festival of punkorama, you know, which the DS4 is, you know, where we get down with.
It's a broad church.
It's a broad church. You know, you can punk it with the rest of them.
Yeah. So
come on.
We went on after this band that looked a bit like the Rizzillos, I think. Yeah. I mean, they weren't kind of had
I
that
like
sort
them.
Of.
I
know the Rizzillos 40 years on.
So yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I didn't remember Top of the Pops was that.
Yeah,
was
yeah.
It,
and the girl was wearing that sort of, skin tight, whatever it was, costume. And anyway, So we went on, but we did the Polly song. We also did a PJ Harvey song called "The Last Living Rose."
Great, cool.
Another Polly, you know. We were sort of
good, cool.
Mixing up our Pollys there.
Fair enough.
And that anyway, and it went down great. We had such a good time there.
Yeah.
It was brilliant. And they said, "Oh, come
well
back,
received.
Yeah, come back and play your own show." We went back about a few weeks later and played ourselves after that.
How good is that?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I like that.
There you go.
It's all going on.
It's all fun. You just have to jump in and take your chances.
But that's
really
the thing now, isn't it? Because we were talking last week on, I think, with Marcus from Tenderhooks, and almost saying, you know, in an environment where the big boys never move over. I mean, look, the Specials are back. They're number one at the moment, for goodness sake.
Yeah, yeah.
Their album is, anyway. Yeah. You know, there's every third gig poster is another lineup from the 60s, 70s, 80s, isn't it? I mean, so we're almost saying, look, come on, shove over and give us a chance. But I think it's ignoring one thing, and that is the fact that there's just so much live now.
Yeah.
And it really is where it's at, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so we're all in the same mosh pit, and you know, in Brighton tonight or whatever, any evening. On every level of gig, you can see, whether it's the Brighton Centre or the Dome, or then all the sort of pub gigs and all the venues. So I think there is still enough space. It's just, you know, whether you can crack in and break those, you know, that ceiling, if you like.
Yeah, yeah. You've got to be prepared when you get in there as well.
Well, what do you think about the industry in that sense? I mean, going forward, because I mean, you know, it's had so much mix and match, hasn't it? It's had so many different, you know, I mean, HMV closed and now it's been saved, vinyl died and now it's back again. You know, people are producing whatever as much as they can online. Do you think it's in a healthy place, or do you just think it just carries on?
Yeah, I think it's reached a kind of point where it's reached a sort of settled phase, you know. I think there's a kind of repertoire has been laid down, and for anyone who wants to kind of carry on, you have to pay attention to what's already there, you know. I think you can't just turn your back on everything that's gone before, because there's such a rich legacy now in popular music in this country, well, in of popular music period. And but I think in terms of the opportunity to do things, it's absolutely everywhere. You know, anyone can pick up a guitar and make a record virtually and stick it up online and see what the reaction is, you know. So it's a kind of swings and roundabouts in a way. You have more competition or more competing for the space, for the attention, for the world, you know, for the whole resources that are available. At the same time as having limitless opportunity, boundless really, to go and do it. You really can just pick up a guitar and just make a record and stick it out there. So.
And as Jeff said earlier, you know, we're into that sort of phase of track by track, Spotify download, you know, single, or not even single, just track. You know, we're launching this, we're doing that, that you can, you don't have to wait for that album that's taken all year to record.
No, the key thing these days, Pete, is you've got to love music.
Yeah,
it's you know, it's so hard to be in music if you're trying to make a living. The you know, the streaming, downloading has kicked the backside out of the business as such. And I think I heard one of these Stones saying that they just happened to come in. They started at the beginning of the 50-year. Spell when it was possible to make music and money out of music.
Yeah,
and they
it wasn't rode, even 50, I don't think, was
no,
it?
But they rode the wave, and basically that era is gone.
Yeah.
So to do it these days, you've got to love it.
But it's gone for that level of artist, you know. But yeah. I would say in the 60s and 70s, there were plenty of bands that we never heard of and never made it, and would do the scenes and the scene and the scene, and they would go round and round and round and work it and work it and work it, men's clubs and pubs, and never heard of them. You know, they would always have the day job. So, I think we can think, oh, all the bands did so well, and it's only because we've heard of them. And I think there's, you know, yes, there's probably tenfold in terms of artists out there these days.
Yeah.
But, you know, the level of percentage of those that make it, I would say it's still probably, you know, as always was, possibly,
yeah, yeah.
You know.
It takes a few years to think for things to shake down and see what is really genuinely good quality music. It's the good quality stuff that stands the test of time.
And there's always two levels to that, isn't there? There's always the highly polished and produced track that's only been created to be played on radio or Radio One, or and you can hear it, you know, you can sense that the artist really has no idea what they've produced because they didn't, you know. They're just a little cog in that wheel. And then there's the other, you know, the heart and soul. And those two just can go along quite happily together, you know. We've got time for one more track. I would love you to do whatever you desire. What would you like to play?
Well, we thought we might try a Ray Davies song, actually.
Oh, baby, yeah.
Because he's one of my favourite songwriters, and obviously it's a song that we used to play this one, didn't we, when we were back in the day. We haven't played it for a long time. It's a song called Where Have All the Good Times Gone? And Ray Davies wrote this. It was a B-side, I think, of an early Kinks record. I'm not sure which single it was the B-side of. And then David Bowie recorded it on his Pinups album.
Great album.
And that gave it a sort of a bit of a second lease of life.
Yeah.
And it's always been one that I've liked. It's always touched me in a way.
Did you love it before the Pinups album?
Yes. Yeah. I always thought it was a great song. I could never understand how the hell he put that on a B-side. I thought, that's just so profligate. You know,
it's such a great, yeah.
How can you just throw a song like that away on a B-side? And but also, the thing I think about it now is that it's a song full of wisdom. It's a song full of mature wisdom of someone who's been around and seen the world and knows what it's all about. And he wrote it when he was 21.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, this is the thing.
Don't start me.
And I'm thinking to myself, wow, if I could write a song like this now at my stage of life, you know, which is a considerably more experienced, I might say.
Only a decade or so.
But you have to say, well, this is why Ray Davies is a genius,
and
you know. And it's a lovely, lovely song, and it's called Where Have All the Good Times Gone?
Oh, please, take it away.
Should we try this one, Jeff? You remember it?
Yep.
I think we played in, is it G? Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, now in my life I never stop to worry about a thing. Just open up and shout it out, never try to sing. I'm wondering if I've done wrong. Will this depression last for long? Won't you tell me, where have all the good times gone? Where have all the good times gone? Well, once we had an easy ride, always felt the same. Time was on my side and I had everything to gain. Please let it be like yesterday. Please let me have happy days. Won't you tell me, where have all the good times gone? Where have all the good times gone? Yeah. Well, Ma and Pa look back on all the things they used to do. They didn't have much money and they always told the truth. Daddy didn't have no toys and Mama didn't need no boys. Won't you tell me, where have all the good times gone? Where have all the good times gone? Yesterday was such an easy game for you to play. But let's face it, things are so much easier today. I guess you needed bringing down and get your feet back on the ground, huh? Won't you tell me, where have all the good times gone? Where have all the good times gone? Good times gone, yeah.
is so good. What a brilliant track to end on. A little bit of Ray Davis there in the mix. Jeff and David, thank you so very much for coming in. It's been an absolute joy. I can't believe how quickly it's gone, my friends.
It's been a thrill. It's been a real fantastic. Loved it.
Well, I can't wait for the 22nd, Friday, the 22nd of February, of course, at the Brunswick. Part of a fantastic lineup. We'll try and dig out a Scott and Maria track in a minute as well, so you can get the full flavour of what to expect. But hopefully see you there, guys. And you're more than welcome to hang around now if you want, just to relax and chill. But thank you so, so much. Sounding brilliant.
Thanks, Pete.
Cheers, Pete.
It's been a real pleasure.
We loved it.
Three, four.